Itamar Marcus updating us on the march of return by the Palestinians there at the Gaza Strip-Israeli border. Looks like they're going to continue after Ramadan and only intensify. We'll stay on top of that story with Itamar Marcus of Palestinian Media Watch. Well, we're going to change the region of the world to the European Union. John Rood is the man who covers that for us. And John, for a number of years, you lived there in Brussels, Belgium. Now there's a report coming from the European Union Council headquarters, Don Tusk, who is the chairman of the 28 member states. He made the statement this week, with friends like President Trump, who needs enemies? Explain what he was talking about and give us some details.
The European Union actually has a situation where they've created a president of the European Council who is known to be, in a sense, the president of Europe. And it kind of goes back to a quote from Henry Kissinger saying, "When I want to call Europe, I don't know who to call." And so he's a figurehead, and he works also with the head of the European Commission. Now, Donald Tusk, who's been the president of the Council, therefore president of the European Union, so to speak, of the 28 nations, he's been there since 2014. He was the prime minister of Poland from 2007 to 2014. And Poland has been traditionally one of the more pro-United States EU member states. And so this is interesting because Donald Tusk is being forced here basically to take the European Union stand, and he's being more direct in the areas of these tensions. The EU relations with the United States, they're having a number of pressure points now, the trade agreement, the Iran nuclear deal, U.S. embassy relocation to Jerusalem. And so he's having to face a strong stand from President Trump. And he's really doing a balancing act. It's very interesting. He wants to be popular in his own country as well. The Polish president right now, Duda, actually came out and said Donald Tusk is not a Polish politician anymore, but he's a European politician. So the EU is caught in the middle, trying to protect their interests. And it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek statement saying that Donald Trump could be possibly as an enemy. But they're testing all the boundaries. They're testing the waters. This is the system that they use.
And you mentioned there that they were talking about or had differences about the Iranian deal. It looks like these European leaders are agreeing they're going to stay united to keep that Iranian nuclear deal alive. Is that the case right now?
Yes. They're saying the EU as a group of states, which is already notable because it has to be a unanimous decision from the 28 leaders, they're saying that they will keep the Iran nuclear deal intact as long as Iran will keep their side of the deal. It's difficult to effectively cut the United States out of the deal and keep things as they were before, but the EU here is being much more assertive than they've been in the past. Now, the problem for the European Union is they have great economic interests here, and last week we mentioned some of the multi-billion dollar deals. So what will happen here is they're going to focus on the diplomatic negotiations, and they're just going to take some of these huge economic interests one by one, Airbus, et cetera, and they will work on independent diplomatic negotiations and work on individual deals with those companies. They've threatened to throw out all of the sanctions from the United States. That would be quite difficult to do. And again, they're absolutely in the middle of this situation where they don't want to neglect the United States. If they have to choose between Iran and the United States, they will choose the United States, but they're not willing to do that. Also, it's interesting that the decisions that have been coming out right now were from the Bulgaria summit. And the European Union Council has a rotating system every 6 months of one of the member states holding the presidency. So with 28 states, you can imagine what that schedule is like. So now Bulgaria, Estonia, and Austria are holding the six-month presidency of the council. And so the meeting in Bulgaria is of the very highest EU summit level. And so they're in the middle here. They're going to assert themselves, which is unusual, but they're trying to see what the boundaries are with President Trump in the United States.
John, back in 2014, Vladimir Putin gave the order his military took Crimea, the peninsula off the Ukraine there, into the Black Sea. They knew that they had to move the materials over to this warm water port for Russia, so they built a bridge. And this last week, Vladimir Putin actually drove one of the trucks, in fact, led that column of trucks across that bridge. Historic event unfolding over there to Crimea. Looks like Russia is going to take Crimea forever, forget about ever giving it back to the Ukraine.
I would imagine Russia had never really considered Crimea part of the Ukraine with multi-hundred-year history, but Russia has been very assertive in the region right now. The new bridge is the longest bridge in Europe, 19 kilometers, and so it's certainly to be used for military purposes as well and to strengthen the position of Russia in Crimea. One thing to note is that there's two land roads that come from the north, Ukraine, into Crimea. But for Russia to pass without going through Ukraine, then you're forced to essentially create this longest bridge in Europe, and it's over to the eastern side. Now, there's been plans to do that even from the late 19th century in the Tsarist times, but now it's been completed, and the timing of this certainly is it will be for military implications and for strengthening the position. Russia has 260,000 troops on the border with Ukraine as we're talking. And so it's a very, very hot region right now, and unfortunately the world has forgotten there's even a war in Ukraine.
And that's why we wanted to bring that to their attention, and we do that with the man who covers the European Union for us, John Rood, lived for a number of years in Brussels, Belgium, headquarters for the European Union Council, the 28 member states. John, great report. Thank you so much, my good friend. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Great talking with you.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, one more interview on Prophecy Today. David James and I will talk about the Jews and salvation. It's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.